Oh my God, Max. Max, I'm so disappointed. There's like...
In what?
There's like this movie that just came out that everyone's mm-hmm. talking about it. I can't say the name because it's too controversial okay. for me to say the name. But uh-huh. I genuinely think it is the worst movie that I have seen from that particular director ever. And I saw his wow. other film that involves punches. And Lord, this is worse. Like,
really?
The script makes absolutely no sense. The character, okay. you don't care about the characters. The CGI is the most atrocious. Like, I saw Psycho Goreman, and that Psycho Goreman, like, practical effects were better than absolutely every scene of CGI in the entire film. Like, the Ooh. Way that they approached even costume design in this is like somebody just graduated from effects school, and they were like, I'm gonna put all the plug-in, and they made like like a sci-fi trope armor, but it was atrocious. And
I think I know what you're talking about.
Do you? Okay, so
I feel like I do. I've not seen it.
Well, okay. So I'm just gonna prepare you for it. So when you start okay. watching the film, the first thing you gotta do is welcome to Played It Once, a board game podcast about games we've only played once. The reality is that most games only make it to the table one time, and first impressions matter. So we made a podcast about ours. I'm your host, Jambigas, and with me is the curious man, Mr. Max from Table Knots, who will never find out truly what film I'm talking about, and neither will you, audience.
I'm so disappointed.
Just like I am in this film, Max. So how are you doing today?
I'm wonderful, Jay, and I'm happy that I have not seen said film, to be honest with you.
Bro, I'm telling you seriously, like out of like podcast stuff, don't watch it. It's not worth it. It's also,
man, I've heard nothing but good things.
No, people are wrong. There's nothing redeemable
well, yeah,
about this film.
People are always wrong. That's
There's nothing redeemable. Like, if somebody can guess what I'm talking about, send me a private message. I don't want like public stuff. Send me a private message and let's discuss between you and me how this film is bad. Oh, I'm sorry. If you want to talk about how the film might be good, you can try that, but you're not going to get too far. Either
way.
You know
how many requests you're going to get on that?
Controversy.
It's true. It sells.
Max, this is not a film-based podcast. This is actually a podcast about board games, is it not?
What? I think so, maybe. Sometimes.
So, Max, what game are we actually talking about today?
Today, we're going to discuss Cosmic Frog by Devious Weasel Games and designed by Jim Felly.
Oh, wow. It's like you're prepared.
It's like I know this game.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. So for everybody that hasn't heard this podcast yet, this is Played It Once, a show where we talk on three fundamental topics: an introduction to the featured game, the context in which we played, and our overall opinions of the experience. And oh, boy, do I have opinions on this, Max. I'm so excited to discuss these opinions with
everyone
you.
Everyone has an opinion.
I know, like opinions on certain films. So, Max, how about you give us an introduction into Cosmic Frog? Frog.
Sure. Well, part of the thing is I think Jim Felly designed this game with the sole intention of making whoever tried to describe it to anyone else look like a fool.
Oh, I don't think you need it that hard to try, really. Sorry.
You don't know? Mm-hmm, man. No. Thank you. This is a asymmetric game in which you each have different variable frog powers, ranging from very game-breaking stuff to, you know, some stuff that you've never even heard of before. Each frog has different abilities, and you're going to be trying to siphon and collect different materials off this shard and enter them into your gullet. You're trying to swallow them into your gullet, hop off the shard into the aether, disgorge the contents of your gullet into your vault, and at the end of the game, the contents of your vault is how you score. But the whole time, you're also being fought and punched by other 2-mile-tall cosmic frogs with special powers. That's Cosmic Frog in like 20 seconds, but there's a lot.
So what you're saying is that this entire podcast is actually just going to be us trying to describe what the heck Cosmic Frog even is.
Yeah.
Because that made no sense.
I think you could do that. I know. It's a tough one to describe. It's a tough one to describe. So I don't exactly know how to do it, but you may be able to do a better job.
No. I think you explained a good deal of what the game actually is. The only thing I'll clarify is just in terms of straight up mechanics, what you're doing is that you have a miniature on a series of modular tiles. Every time that you land on a tile, you have a decision. Do you either take that tile into a set collection area that is temporary, and later do you transfer that into a it's not even totally true, and then you transfer it to a set collection point scoring area. The idea of the game is that you're trying to collect different sets of worlds based on the terraforming or the type of environments that they are. However, there is take that in this game, and there is combat in this game. So those miniatures, those frogs that Max was talking about, would be able to engage in combat. And the way that works is that temporary set area that you have is very prone to being stolen from. So if you don't pass those things into what is that permanent scoring area, it is very likely that people will be able to take things from you across the entire game. This game heavily relies on very aggressive and combative play styles. However, not even your permanent scoring area is safe, because if you get into very troublesome waters, which is a separate area of the board, you are then susceptible to being attacked into your permanent scoring area as well. In addition to all these things, as Max mentioned, there's variable player powers that are given at random at the beginning of the game and will change throughout the course of the game depending on certain actions, and the board in which you are traversing is constantly growing smaller, both by player agency and the game itself bringing in mechanics that basically collapse or destroy certain areas of the board. The game will end once we reveal, I believe, Max, it's called Cataclysms or something like that.
That's fine.
So so imagine that every location that has a tile on it is actually made of a sandwich. It's three tiles deep. So you have two tiles that feature terrain, and then one tile that is the core of that planet. When meteor strikes, the meteor takes away everything, including the core. And certain cores contain chips that will go onto a track to denote endgame. So once a certain amount of tiles and or chips are revealed, the game ends. It is I don't know in terms of lore, but I guess it's the end of the universe, and the cosmic frogs then disgorge the planets that they've created into a new future. And again, I don't think I did a good job, but let me see if we can give you a quick example of a turn. So Max, how would one play? Like, give me a rundown of maybe one turn of what you would do in the game.
Sure. So in Cosmic Frog, you are obviously navigating your, I don't know why anything in this game is obvious. You're obviously navigating your 2-mile tall frog, and you're going to take an action to move, which is most often leap. And thematically, you can only move in a straight line across X amount of hexes, which are also determined by how much terrain you're already currently carrying, because you're weighed down by that.
Oh.
So for example, I may leap to a water terrain that I want, and then I can spend another action to swallow that water terrain into my gullet, and then that may be my turn for now, and then I try and avoid you, and then the next turn I hop into the aether and I disgorge it into my vault. But you're just trying to look for those different conditions to kind of get the most points. You want to maximize the layout of your gullet and vault to score points, because if you just toss stuff in there willy-nilly, it's not going to get you any victory points.
Man, Max, I got to say, I'm really digging you on this podcast. Why haven't you been on this before, beyond our very amazing and incredible Christmas show that if you haven't heard, you totally should?
It was an incredible Christmas show, for sure. I don't know, but you can invite me. I mean, that's what you did tonight, and it worked out.
Oh, so. Bro, you are now forever in, like, tied to the hip on this podcast. I love it. Either way, so.
Not mad about that.
Now let's move into context, Max. How did we both, I'll ask you first. How did we learn about this game? How did we learn about the game itself? How was the experience learning it? And how was that first play experience as well?
Okay, so I don't even know where I discovered this game from. I think I just saw the art somewhere. And I mean, if you haven't already looked up Cosmic Frog on BGG or on the internet or whatever, you'll see that the art is very different and exciting, and it draws you in. And that's what did it for me initially. Then I kind of watched it for a while, and the moment it was available for pre-order straight from Devious Weasel Games, I went ahead and shelled out the money for it, and obviously patiently awaited for it to arrive. When I first got it, I actually played a three-handed game by myself just to kind of come to grips with it, come to terms with it, because I'd heard that it wasn't like a difficult game, but that the concepts are a little weird and interesting. So I wanted to kind of, you know, get a grip on it before I tried to introduce it to someone else. And that was fine, but obviously that doesn't really count as an actual play. I believe I then played it with both the other Table Knots crews, Josh and Josh, and had a pretty polarizing game. I absolutely loved the chaos.
Whoa,
we're not going there yet?
Bro.
Am I too far?
Bro. Keep the mystery alive. You got to keep the mystery alive.
Okay. All right.
You can't give opinions. Like, our previous, last week we had William Lippincott come on, and he gave it away too early, man. And I want the drama to be in the show.
Drama.
Yeah.
I'm stoic. I'm straight faced. You can't see me, but just believe me.
I trust you. I trust you, bro. Okay. I trust you. So, okay. So basically, you learn through the game, through the artwork, you learn the game yourself, and then you had a really polarizing game with your friends, and that's mm-hmm. That's what we know thus far.
Yeah, that's it. That's all you know.
Hopefully, I was able to people hate it. People hate it when we interrupt each other, but I feel that sometimes.
It's necessary.
Yes, exactly, Max.
I'll keep that in mind for when you're talking.
Oh, you should interrupt me always, but not all the time. Either way.
Okay.
So, I learned about this game, actually, by one of the board game papas, board game grandfathers here. Well, not really grandfathers, actually, really. Basically, they're a big inspiration for me, and I absolutely love everything they do. So very wrong about games. They've been lauding and talking about Cosmic Frog for a better part of a year. And
you know, that's probably where I heard of it too, honestly. I think you might be right.
I have some friends that call them the Super Canadians, which I think is awesome. If So Very Wrong About Games ever wants to change their name, Super Canadians is actually pretty badass.
It's
so
pretty catchy.
They talked about this game and they always just talked it up. So I was super intrigued. However, I wasn't in love with the price point, so I did some research and I tried to find something that I was a little bit more comfortable with than I did, and I ordered it and I waited, blah 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 blah. Funny thing is, I don't even know if I played my copy. I think my copy may have been played, but I definitely have not even touched the rule book. This game was taught to me, in not the best way. Our friends were doing their very best to understand the mechanics behind it, but they hadn't actually played it physically. So trying to parse what the text had been saying into the play experience was not the best of experiences for everybody. So I would also say that we played, I believe, with a 5-player count, which is huge in this one, right?
Yes.
I think optimally you want to play with 4 people, and 5, like, that is adding a lot of additional friction into the game. But either way, it was also extremely polarizing. I won't tell you where I land in that, but it was.
Yeah. Whoa.
Oh, yeah. Max,
I caught you there.
Max.
Yeah, I caught you there.
Max, you're doing so good. So I have not actually ever tried to learn this game. From what I saw, it is not the best rule book that probably exists.
I didn't hate it. I think the rulebook's fine. I definitely don't know if it's the best, but I'm actually pretty poor at learning games, and thought that this was all right. I will say that our first ever playthrough had a pretty egregious rules mistake on my part, where I taught it. Yeah, it's on YouTube with a pretty egregious mistake. But I've since fixed that, and it hasn't changed how I feel about the game. But I did... You know, one caveat, I did play the first game pretty wrong. So maybe the rulebook isn't amazing, but it's not bad by any means.
So Max, what you're saying is that you're also learning from Papa Quackalope then? Like, you picked up on the bad things that we do?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
That's guaranteed.
Dude, what does it say about us that we want to be, like, content creators in the board game media space, and we can, for the life of us, play a game correctly? Like, I don't...
I cannot play a game right the first time. It just doesn't happen.
Oh, my Lord. It's so embarrassing. Either way, I think, Max, that we are ready to unveil, okay. That opinion of yours that you were so excited to share.
Yeah, if it is not clear already, Cosmic Frog is unfortunately one of my top 10 favorite games of all time.
What? Oh my Lord.
Yeah, dude, it's so good.
Okay. talk to me why. Why do you feel that this game has earned that spot in your collection? And you've played a good plethora of games. So why is Cosmic Frog up there, especially so quickly?
Man, it's so hard to even tell you why. It's just such an interesting and unique theme. And I think it does a lot for me. I'm not like huge into Euros. I mean, it's not that I don't like them. I just haven't played enough of them. I'm still pretty fresh. I'm still pretty green into the hobby. And so these tough and heavy games definitely scare me off a little bit. Mm. And I think that Cosmic Frog does an excellent job of combining incredibly unique thematics, incredibly cool art and components with combat, and also with that set collection, tile placement, area control kind of game as well. Like, there's still a lot going on that it's not just straight up Ameritrash, dice rolling all the time. I mean, it's in there, but there's enough of a different kind of strategy, enough of a strategical and tactical thing that you have to focus on at the same time. It really just meshes those worlds together really well for me. And I'm just someone who's so big on art components and thematics that I think just the meshing of mechanics with the thematics is big for me, honestly.
What is it about 2 mile tall cosmic frogs that enthralls you so much? Because you've mentioned that
what is it about 2 mile high cosmic frogs that does not entice you so much? I don't understand. They're 2 mile high frogs that eat the world and throw it up to create new worlds.
So,
and some of them are like vampire frogs. Some of them are world eaters. Some of them can be invisible. Man, what is not to like?
So, okay. So speaking directly about that, have you noticed that I'm totally delaying my response here? what is the favorite thing so far that you have discovered around your plays of Cosmic Frog? Is there a particular mechanic that shone for you more than the rest, or is it just the entire package that you are so infatuated for?
I think as a whole, yeah, the entire package is big for me. It just works so well together. But if I have to pick some particular mechanics, I do really enjoy the having to think about the way you swallow things, because they land in your vault a particular way, and then when you disgorge them, they come out backwards. And I like that puzzle that I'm thinking about in my head. Also, and this is a polarizing mechanic that you may have to touch on later, but it makes it so unique and different to other games that I wasn't quite sure I'd like when I first started playing it. And I do think it can be very polarizing, but I personally didn't mind it, is just the whole action deck. There's no turn order here. You have an action deck of cards that each player has X amount of cards put into it, 3, 4, 5, 6, depending on how many players you're playing with, and they're shuffled together, and however they're drawn out of the deck is the turn order. So I may go 4 turns before you ever take one, but then you know that your time is coming later because I'm going to be stuck not moving while you get 4 turns right in a row. I think that's such a unique mechanic that I haven't seen anywhere else. I'm sure it's present elsewhere, but not one that I've played, that is so polarizing. But for me, in this context, in this game, where it's strategical but also kind of Ameritrashy, it works very well for me.
Oh, Max. I'm honestly, I'm fearful of sharing my opinion because
I know your opinion. You've already made them clear.
Because if for some miracle the guys from So Very Wrong About Games listen to this, I'm mm-hmm. scared that if they had any respect for me, I don't think they ever did. But if they had any respect for me, I think I might lose it completely now. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Go ahead. Tell the world.
Here's a dealio. I am not sure how I feel truly about this game. My gut, my gullet says that I absolutely hated.
Nice.
Cosmic
Whoa,
Fraud.
Hate?
Hated.
Hate?
Hated hate to is the a strong bottom word. Of my vault. To the inner, like to the edges of my vault. Absolutely despised it. However, I don't know if that's entirely true. Again, we've made a lot of emphasis on these three segments because they're very important. Context is very mm-hmm. important, and when you play a game, that first experience is quintessential. And I genuinely believe that both I was not prepared for the type mm-hmm. of game I was going to play, and I was not taught the game in a way that's the most optimum for Cosmic Frog, because it is a difficult game to parse initially because of how conflicting yes. a lot of the mechanics feel in the whole in the entire package. And the things that rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah.
I am a Euro player. I don't okay. like it when people put their hands in my things. I don't want you to be near my stuff. And so there was a time in our game that I was able to push a player into that secondary zone where sure. their
dimension zero.
Yep. Where their victory, where their vault, their victory point permanent collection is set, and absolutely take everything from them and took them out of the winning the game. With that said, I also lost the game pretty heavily, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it was also because people then stole from me.
So I have one thing to interrupt you on real quick that mm-hmm. I'm just curious about. And I don't have the answer right now, but I just want you to go back and check it later. There's some pretty hard restrictions on how much you can take from somebody while they're out in Dimension Zero that I wonder if possibly you all weren't aware of.
I think we attacked them multiple times and also sent them into the ether multiple times. I'm not sure because I remember that every time you take tiles from them, they move up into the ether, I believe. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep. So, and you can also only, you have to like declare how much you're taking and then succeed that roll, meaning that if you want to take two, you have to beat their roll by two. It's like you can't just take willy-nilly stuff out of their vault.
Oh, I think we probably did play that right, but the tiles that I took were very important for their scoring, I think.
Sure.
It was something like that. I don't remember. Just the fact that you could potentially land in a zone where people are removing things that you've worked so hard for is really aggravating. I don't know mm-hmm. if I like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely that type of a game, for sure.
So... When I mentioned context, that's why it's important here. This type of game is the game where everybody is everybody's check. And what I mean with that is, if you don't keep each other in check constantly, there will be a king made. If you ignore anyone in this game, the game is constantly inviting you to fight. And the weird thing about our playthrough is that we didn't really fight that much because you had two to three people that play mainly Euros approaching a puzzle skirmish competitive set collection game through the lens that it might be something a little bit more traditional. And that's where we started making those major mistakes, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that this is the type of game that needs to be presented with a script in mind and that needs to be explained in a way that gives you really clear ideas of how you should probably approach it, at least in the first few games. It's like, I thought immediately of Root. In Root, there is yep. an ecosystem. There is balance. If the balance is ever skewed in one way or the other, a player will most likely take it, right?
Yes.
It's a game about inches. You know, you slowly move up here, you slowly take there, you slowly crumble here. And that is exactly how Cosmic Frog played. But because of the whimsical nature of it, you just don't expect it to be that cut throat or that cut gullet. I'm going to stop with the puns.
Yes. Yeah, you probably should.
But I was not aware of that, really. Mm-hmm. Understood it at the top of my head, but it never really came to me. Anyways, the other elements of Cosmic Frog that was a big tangent, my lord. Not really a tangent. The other element, I think, that really affected my gameplay, that it is actually something I thoroughly don't enjoy, because the mechanics around the gullet stealing, all that type of stuff, if I go in with the right sentimentality, I probably would be more okay with it, and just it's more like a beer and pretzels type of thing. it's a randomness. This game is all randomness. And I don't know if I like that or not. And what do I mean with that? Combat is determined by a single dice roll that you can mitigate by wasting precious action resources. Basically, there's an allotment of gems that you can use in order to do certain types of decisions or actions. And correct. And if you spend oomph for combat, you're able to reroll. But at the end of the day, everything is based on a single reroll. Right? I hated that aspect because the combat just kind of fell flat for me. And I understand why it's there. We don't want the combat to hamper the experience. The combat is not necessarily the feature. It is the method in which you interact with players, and it's supposed to be punchy and you keep moving. But it can be so detrimental in a lot of ways in the way that dice roll behaves. I don't know. It just really, really sucks.
So I will personally say that the combat dice roll doesn't bother me. I think it's okay personally, and I think that usually the variable skills, like some people are better at fighting on the aether or in the aether, some people are better at fighting on the shard, some people's vaults are better just based off the dice rolls that they get. I will say, and I'm assuming this can be public information, I think he's tweeted it out before, that I have also played Cosmic Frog with Jim Felly with two expansions basically that he was working on. I don't know where they sit in how ready they are or if they've been scrapped or anything, but they actually, one of them totally removed the dice mechanic entirely. And actually, basically, it's kind of a mind game where you have numbered cards.
Yes.
And you're setting out the numbered cards in a particular order, and the opponent is allowed to choose which card they want.
Oh my god,
and
yes.
And you choose the opponent's card.
That sounds so cool.
And then compare them that way. Yeah, so that's kind of a bit of a mental combat. And then also, actually, the other expansion he added was mental combat, where you can attack at range, too, using your mind, essentially.
Oh, Lord, no.
So those were the two things that we worked with. And I thought that I don't mind the dice one bit. And I think that the cards probably make it a little more fiddly because you're not just rolling a die and looking at the result. But personally, I actually did really enjoy the card play as well. And so if the dice play really, really, really bothers you, definitely look out for that in the future if it's still a thing. I can't confirm nor deny, but I've played with it before and enjoyed it.
Can I just do that right now? That sounds amazing.
Yeah, you definitely could. I mean, you could realistically just take, you know, a deck of house cards, a deck of playing cards, and make that up. I'm sure that's possible, but...
Fascinating. Well, anyways, so the player order I also thought was a little bit of a contention point for me because there was a lot of downtime in between other players. Like, if you're unlucky enough to have your entire stack of cards at the end of the round, you are doing absolutely nothing through at least 15 to 20 minutes of a round, right? Like, you're just watching people do things and you have no way to reciprocate or react. Then there's also,
I can see that.
Then there's also the randomness element of the ether itself. You know, the way that you escape the ether, if you're really bad at dice rolling or just have horrible luck, you could get stuck there for a long time too. And that's fine if the game was quick enough, etc. But the game can drag depending on how players are interacting with the board, especially in the way that players are interacting with the game state. So,
I actually don't think Dimension Zero took very long for us, because each time you pull out your action card, you roll a dice and move back that many spaces. And each time you're attacked, you move back that many pieces that were taken from you. I really didn't feel like Dimension Zero was a sticking point for anybody, especially because you hold on to the cards that you receive during it and then get those actions back as soon as you land back on the shard. It can, depending on the card draw, stick you out there for a long time, but I don't think it was like a big deal. And of course, player count matters a lot. I think, like you said earlier, context is extremely important. A lot of this downtime and the being in Dimension Zero and the being attacked is going to be very player count dependent. So I do think that's something to make note of, but I didn't have too much of an issue with it personally.
With all that negativity out of the way, The things that I really did like, I love the way that the puzzle unfolds, right? There's two levels of puzzles. There's a puzzle of how you intake things, and then how you disgorge mm-hmm. those things into your permanent scoring. That puzzle was really interesting. Then there's also the physical puzzle or the shared puzzle around the board. You have all these different levels that people are all kind of like fighting for the resources for. So do you focus on an area of the board? Do you go into places that people have already started, quote-unquote, mining these areas so that you can get to lower tiles? Because everything kind of starts like an ecosystem. You start with lighter or heavier chunks of cardboard. Then you go downwards, and you go downwards, and you're able to, you know, get different things. And there's also another really interesting aspect that there's essentially two existences. There's the map of the world, and then there's the ether, which is the kind of like the area around the board. And depending on how you're milling each one of the sections, you're able to kind of on a turn do a combo play where you're mining and mining and mining. And usually you would just end on a tile and be subject to being attacked really easily. But depending on how you mined, you could potentially break away that part of the core of the surface and reveal the ether and kind of transport yourself outside, which I thought was
a free movement.
Exactly. Yeah. Which those are really interesting things that happen with that core conceit or that main puzzle on the board, which I thought was fascinating and I thought was explored in a way that was really innovative and different for an abstract. Because I think at the end of the day, like, this is the strangest abstract, like the most Ameritrash abstract ever, but it is in a way an abstract puzzle game, at least to me, in the way that you are accumulating sets and you're traversing the board. Like it's so fascinating the way that all that happens. The player powers are also really interesting. The way that things are constantly changing, right? The way that things are constantly changing. This game is so dynamic in almost every single thing about it.
Yeah, we haven't really even touched on the two. You've got the Splinter Strike. I mean, we touched about the thing that breaks up the board, but also the Aether Flux, which you were talking about, you know, it being dynamic and variability. That's supposed to be a punishment, right? Where you get the Aether Flux and you're supposed to swap out your frogs, or you can pay to, you know, draw another, keep one, or you can pay to just hold on to yours. And like, I don't think I ever turned down the opportunity to swap frogs, because to me, experiencing all the cool frogs was one of the big boons of the game. I didn't want to hinder my ability to find a new, different frog unless mine was like absolutely perfect for the moment. I just went ahead and swapped out almost every time, and more often than not, I think I got a better frog for the moment and created like such a cinematic experience for me.
And that's a little bit tricky, because if you're a new player into this, trying to understand how these powers kind of behave with each other and how you can maximize every power is going to be very difficult in your first initial plays. So that might also be a contributing factor as to why had a polarizing experience as well. But I guess that the other element that I wanted to touch on in respect to the frogs and the way that they interact with each other was going to be in the way that the action economy works here. Look, the way that the frogs and the players are behaving and the decisions that they're making is actually all dependent on choice. And I feel that when people here take that, they immediately associate it with lack of choice, lack of decision, lack of me being able to do absolutely anything to prevent this from happening. Right. And in Cosmic Frog, that's not necessarily true. The way that the oomph works out is that you're able to accumulate it when you know that you're a juicy target. That might mean that you might be more reserved in your playstyle, at least on the onset of a turn or of a round, right? So you see how the cards play out, and you keep that oomph, because oomph represents defense. It represents the ability for you to make people re-roll their... Well, that's a special Cosmic Frog, but that you're able to re-roll your dice, or you're able to add stronger dice in there. So there's always decisions to be made with that action economy, which I thought was really, really cool, too.
Absolutely agreed there.
And so I think I've spoken enough already, Max. I think I took like the majority of the podcast. Tell me,
according to my watch, 27 of the 36 minutes so far.
Oh, yeah. Excellent. That's par for the course for me, buddy. Talk to me more about maybe some things that you found that you either want to celebrate more, and also things that you think could potentially be issues for other people.
Okay, so just something that I'll touch on the negatives first. The setup is fiddly. It does take a while.
Yeah.
The setup takes a bit. I mean, if everyone at the table is working together, because it's all random, right? So, like, it's very easy to say, all right, everybody, put down these randomly, stack these on top of each other randomly. That's simple. And if you're all working together, it's really quick. It's only a few minutes. But if you're, like, you're setting up by yourself for game night, do be aware this game does take a few minutes to set up. You've got a lot of tiles. You got to stack them all nicely, stuff like that. So the setup is a bit of a hindrance. I don't think it's a problem personally, but just be aware. It's going to take a few minutes to get that set up and going. I honestly don't. I think you've touched on some negatives that I can agree with. I just don't think they were as big of a hindrance for me. Most of what you said, I agree with, just that the positives and the experience that this game gave me far outweighed the take that aspect. You know, as long as you come into this game knowing that that's happening and knowing that that's what this is, and you need to be aware of that, that if you see someone stacking water terrain, you need to probably do something about that, whether that be prepping to fight them when they try and enter the Aether, what it may be. You just need to kind of be aware of that. There is that push and pull, that tug of war. This game kind of reminds me of like Super Smash Brothers. Like, oh, that guy has three stocks. We need to take out him. You know what I mean? Like, you're kind of that push and pull. I personally think this game just provided a lot of cinematic experiences. And if you know me, that's something that I love. I love Nemesis. I love Gloomhaven. I love things like that that just provide these cinematic experiences and these exciting moments, these tense moments. Like, I've only played this game, I think, 4 or 5 times. So I've not had a chance to play it a bunch yet. But out of those plays, I've had one where a guy's player power was that he could eat the terrain. Like just the barren terrain. And so he was winning at the time and just walked around eating the barren terrain, attempting to find those shatters and attempting to end the game before we could catch up. And he successfully did so.
Oh,
he was able to end the game by finding enough shatters before we were able to catch up to him, which was obviously you're pulling and flipping over those barren tiles. And we just like screamed when it happened and when he was able to win that way. And then you've got other experiences where, you know, I started the game and lost like the first 4 fights in a row. And I was being very combat heavy. And then, you know, an Aether Flux happened. Then I got the big battle-y frog and I went and won a battle and stole someone's entire gullet and immediately deposited it. And just those big, swingy, exciting moments are I think, something that this game does so well, while also still being like a fun strategy, semi Euro-esque game in parts of it. And I think that it just works so well together for me. I mean, I know that I'm not being very negative, but like I said, it's one of my top 10 games of all time. So it's a big hit with me personally.
Would you agree? I've been thinking of this phrase as you were talking, because I think it makes sense. I feel I'm going to insult, like, it might insult a few people, but do you think this might be the beer and pretzels games for heavy gamers?
Yeah, actually, I think that's totally fine. I think that's a good descriptor for it, because it is a little heavy and it is a little fiddly compared to most other just kind of like laugh out loud beer and pretzels pub games. And I think that this does that very well, mixing and meshing those kind of aspects. I agree with you, actually.
Okay, so before we get into the final thing, if you were to tell someone directly why they would love this game, what would you say? And what would you say to people that are reprehensive about it right now, why they should give it a shot?
Well, I'll start with that last part. In this day and age, I think it's pretty, and I'm guilty of this myself, but I think it's on tabletop, officially supported by Tabletop Simulator, that is, officially supported by Jim Felly. At this point in time, if you're weary about it, I do think it's a game that everyone should give a shot at, whether that be on TTS or in person with someone else's copy. It's very polarizing and it may not be for you, but it's such a unique game that I think that you're really doing yourself a disservice if you just at least do not give it a try. It may not be for you. You may hate it. I mean, in fact, my co-host, Doolin, does not like Cosmic Frog. So he's played it with me twice and I love it, and he just straight up doesn't like it. I mean, he doesn't hate it, but it's definitely not a game he enjoys that much. So even between my own friend group and my own channel, you know, there's some discourse there. I think that you should give it a shot, though. I think you have to. It's readily available and it's so unique. You need to give it a go. As far as what I think you'll love about it, if it's something that you're interested in, I've mostly touched on everything I have to say, but it's just such a unique puzzle that isn't so hard to figure out that you're also... The puzzle is not just the vault. The puzzle is stopping your other friends and also how you can make sure you're safe until you're able to get into the Aether and disgorge into your vault. And I think that just works so well. And then the cinematic experiences, the combat, it's just such a unique game with 2-mile-high frogs and gorgeous art and a neoprene mat and these chunky cardboard tiles and these dice that just pulls it all together to me. And it's hard for me to say much more about it other than just the experience that this game provides. It's just a blast. I think you did very well describing it as that beer and pretzels for Euro people.
Right? For heavy gamers. So, Max, yeah. Time for the ultimate question.
Okay.
What is the cataclysm is upon us. Did you enjoy it? This is obvious already, but it needs to happen.
This is pretty clear.
It has to happen, man. Did you enjoy it? And would you play it again?
Absolutely, I enjoyed it, and I will 100% play it again. If there's anybody listening to this podcast, anybody in the Quackalope Discord that has their suspicions about this game and want to give it a go, I will be happy to play it with you on Tabletop Simulator if we can make it a time. I really, really like this game. It's one that I'd like to play more because, like I said, Doolin's not a huge fan on it, and I haven't really introduced it to any family or friends yet, though I think that it's light enough they could probably get it. So I really want to play it some more, and I will happily take somebody up on that. But I think that, yes, I did enjoy it, and I do want to play it again.
It kind of sounds like Doolin and I would get along so far.
You probably would. You probably would.
So I'll keep my answer brief because I already spoke too much here. I did not enjoy it at all, really. Like, I enjoyed parts of it, not entirely. I would, though, 100% try play it again to see if it's the right game for my library. But I totally agree with Max on this. You should 100% give this a try and see if it's the right beer and pretzels game. I don't know if I'm committing a sin saying that for you, because it is definitely something that you've probably have never experienced in the board game hobby before.
Absolutely.
And that is so, so, so rare. And with that, Max, what are your opinions on the Whoosh movie that we were talking about at the beginning?
Well, I have not seen it, and
you
heard
don't have
nothing
to see it.
But
you
good
just,
things.
Just keep talking negatively about it, even though you haven't seen it.
Yeah, truthfully, even though I haven't seen it, I can tell you it's too long.
Yeah.
It's too convoluted.
Yeah.
They just try and do too much in there.
Yeah.
You know, man, I can trash this game for hours, but we don't have time, or this movie for hours, but we don't have time for that. You know, I'm just one of those guys.
You know, like, the last thing I'll say about this, Vampire Woman on it was really, really not that interesting. I did not like them as a casting choice so far.
This latest failed attempt at bringing you quality entertainment was brought to you by the Quackalope Podcast. We love to hear from you, so don't forget to leave a review and subscribe. If you'd like to connect with us, follow us on any of our social channels or visit our website. But regardless of what you do, remember to do the important thing. Get out and play some games. Until next time.